Hello, angels, and welcome back to another episode of the Money Mindset Meditation Podcast. Can you believe it? Another guest? Is this even the show? I do not think I've had a guest on for like a year, and now I've had two in 2 weeks. Ah! Oh, Allison Armstrong. I felt like I was talking to a celebrity. Well, she's a celebrity. So it was a couple weeks ago that my coach, Manifestation Babe, mentioned and recommended Allison Armstrong's work. We were talking about feminine energy and just healing feminine versus being masculine. And she was like, you need to read the book, The Queen's Code. And I was like, okay. So I started reading the book and wow, everything started to click. And then if you guys don't know this about me, I go on rabbit holes. So I went down a full rabbit hole. I like downloaded a bunch of her courses, did all them. I've literally listened to Understanding Men twice full over. And it just completely empowered me. I feel like I'm not alone with saying this when, well, let me just say it this way. When I did so much work to manifest my relationship and I didn't know how to be in like a healthy, normal relationship with a man. My like inner child was like, wait, what the fuck is going on here? Like, everything is too good. Like, he wants to support me. He wants to take care of me. Like, no way. Like, I couldn't even accept it. It's strange. Well, it's not strange. It's just called trauma. Anyways, so doing this work, learning about Allison's work, and really, like, just fully immersing myself in her world, it has changed my life, and it has helped me heal my feminine so much, receive from my partner who wants to protect and provide for me just innately, which I was never used to, and it's just, I've literally been telling everyone about her. I've been telling all my friends about her, like my mom, like I'm like, you guys need to read Allison Armstrong's work. She's amazing. And I just reached out to her. I was like, hey, I have some questions. Like, would you come on the podcast? And then she was like, yes. And I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe it. So this is our interview. She is definitely an expert in understanding partnership, understanding men, understanding women, what our instincts are, what drives us, what our needs are, and how to connect. I say this in the episode, but really when you're getting in partnership, it's like an Apple speaking to a PC. Like, it's just two different operating systems, two different upbringings, two different values, two different, you know, it's just two different things. And we are meant to live and co-create together, which is truly the most magical thing ever. But I feel like you're not given the tools or the resources to do that in an effective way, unless you are, I guess, were raised in a family where that was just like the thing. Anyways, I'm rambling. This is such a good episode, and I'm so excited for you guys to dive into Allison Armstrong. I mean, maybe you've already heard of her, and what a delight to have her on the podcast. So I'm gonna link all of her stuff below. I would start with The Queen's Code, which is her book, and then dive into Understanding Women and then Men. It's gonna change your life. Okay, I love you guys so much. It's 333. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Okay, Allison, welcome to the Money Mindset Meditation Podcast. I am so truly honored to have you here. I was just saying before we started recording how I've been in an Allison Armstrong, like, black hole. I've just been absorbing all the information that I can. And I thought, why not have her on the podcast so I can selfishly ask all my questions? But before we get into that, Allison, what I love hearing people's journey, like hero's journey. So clearly you are living your purpose. This is what you were meant to do. You're helping millions of people around the world do this. So what was your journey? Did you always have this appreciation and respect for men? How did you get to this being your life teaching?
Well, I'm glad that, have you read all the way through The Queen's Code?
No, I'm like at the very end. I've been like savoring it.
Okay, all right. Well, I would encourage you to get the audiobook, because then I will read it to you. And the importance of that is that I didn't actually write that book. I did I researched for over, well, gosh, close to 20 years before I knew how to write it. But when I sat down to write it, this screen opened up. It's like right here. And this movie started playing, and I typed as fast as I could. And I looked it up once, like, how long does it take to write a 96,000 word book? And a year or a year and a half. This is like normal to write a book that long. I typed that in 3 weeks. Yeah, I just watched and typed and watched and typed. And there are a lot of things I knew ahead of time because I would be given like these snapshots, these I call them trailers or previews, you know, like movie trailers. So there are things that I knew, but there are so many things I didn't know. So I'm listening to it again for probably the eighth time because we're in the middle of your Queen's Code journey. And so I re-listen to the book as the other folks are listening chapter by chapter, and then I answer questions and illuminate things. But the reason why I bring it up, Marley, is because what happens to Kimberly in the first chapter happened to me. I was in a seminar, a colleague and kind of friend sitting next to me. She did the Melissa. She challenged the seminar leader. Why are men? She was like, oh my gosh, it was vicious. Why are men wonderful in the beginning? And they'll take you to romantic places, give you romantic gifts, listen to you talk about your pets and your family as if they care. And then after a few weeks or a few months, they turn into sports watching, pizza eating, beer belching, couch slugs. That's what she said to him in front of 200 people, men and women, right? Why is that? She demanded. I don't do a Texas accent well, so I'm not even trying, but imagine red hair, pink lipstick, frosty pink lipstick, and just like all done up like all that. And he called her a frog farmer. It's like, oh, you're a frog farmer. It's like, what's that? Some women turn frogs into princes. You turn princes into frogs. And I had the vision that Kimberly described, big white farmhouse, wraparound porch. I'm standing on the front stoop, and there are hundreds and hundreds of human frogs with human heads in front of me. And there was my ex-husband and all my like 10-day ex-boyfriends, because I was masterful at bringing out the worst in men. But I did it on purpose because I thought men were cons and that they were hiding something, and didn't want to get caught up in their charm again. And so I would poke them, I would antagonize them. But I didn't know exactly how I did it. I just knew, oh boy, I'm a frog farmer and a very successful frog farmer. But I was ecstatic because I'd been involved in transformation since I was 19 years old. And here now I was 30. This was 1991. And I tried to change men. I spent a lot of time trying to change men. I knew I could transform myself. So if it was on me, if I was doing something that was bringing out the worst in men, hallelujah, I could work on that. And honestly, women, some women get really mad. Like, why is it on us? Thank goodness it's on us. And it's not on all us. I mean, they have their part. I don't know how woo-woo you get here. I think a money mindset has to be woo-woo.
We're
If you're like,
very
you're very
woo-woo.
woo-woo. Okay, good. Ever since I was a little girl, I knew like, okay, I belong to God and I have a job to do. And I thought everything was my job. Everything's not, that's not heaven on earth, I've got to fix. Thankfully, I got past that. No, there's a lot of people who have the same job. I just have to do my part, help other people do their part. If I can empower all the people doing good to not have to struggle with relationships, then all the doing good can do gooder more consistently. instead of disempowering ourselves and each other and emasculating, especially the compulsive problem solvers, right? Like most men, their biggest problem is how to get out of this conversation with my testicles. Instead of, what can I do about ending hunger today? Or or clean water for everyone. So I'm an activist. I was born an activist. But anyhow, so it's sitting there just dumbstruck, like, I'm a frog farmer. I'm a frog farmer. But how do I do it? I'm so normal. I just do what women do. And then this question popped in my head, and they've been popping in my head ever since. And I thought it was just my brain, being brilliant. No, I'm being really guided along this path. And the first question was, what if men are responding to women? And they're always worded perfectly. What if men are responding to women? So it wasn't men are responding to women or how are men responding to women? What if men are responding to women? And so I got to find out all these ways that men are responding to women and all these ways that men are not responding. And mostly we have it backwards. The things we take personally have nothing to do with this. Man's got to do what a man's got to do. And the things we don't take personally, we should. We think men are non-committal. Well, there's at least 12 things that make a woman the right person to commit to. And basically, our culture and our instincts, I would say our instincts and our culture, we demonstrate to men all the time we're the wrong person to commit to. We're the wrong person. And so they don't commit. And then we think they're commitment phobes and they're broken and there's something wrong with them and they should be punished. And then that's where the emasculation begins. And then that's where the frog farming begins. We think they're supposed to be like women, as you know, because you've been reading the Queen's Code and you've been watching Understanding Men and Understanding Women. We think we're supposed to be the same. What if we just started with we're not supposed to be the same? So who are you and how do you think and why do you do what you do? And sure, you have a good reason for that. That's all I've done since 1991. And honestly, Marley, I had such a poor opinion of men, the opposite of what you thought maybe I had. I had such a poor opinion of men, I thought I learned everything worth knowing within 2 to 3 months. Because I was sure they were shallow. I was certain they had no feelings, so you couldn't hurt them. And I questioned, and I wish I was exaggerating, but I questioned if they had souls. I was, women were the superior evolved human beings. And now I'm in awe. I've been in awe of men for over 30 years. It's like I'm still, something will happen. I'll be like, oh my gosh, who are these people? With a big grin on my face. They're so amazing. And I'm watching my son-in-law be a dad. I got a picture of him yesterday. I just had to cry. Just the way he's holding his son, and has his cheek against his son's cheek. And he says, oh, he's tenderness. And I would have said, no way, never, especially not Harvey, right? Harvey's Mr. Rough and Tough. And no. All this tenderness that shows up also with my daughter, right? My daughter and his son, this tender guy.
Oh my gosh, there's so many avenues I want to go down. Okay, so this idea of frog farming, okay, this has dramatically changed my life. And I'm telling my friends, I'm telling everyone about this, what we spoke about now, frog farming and emasculating men, okay? And I think so many women are accidentally emasculating men. And now that I'm aware of this and just out in the world observing, I'm like, oh, he just really emasculated that male in front of everyone. And it's like, I'm like now like a, I'm like, she has, I'm like, okay, after I'll be like, you have to read the book, The Queen's Code, because you just did this thing and I'm not gonna tell you about it. So for people that aren't aware and listening, what does it mean to emasculate men? And when you choose to stop emasculating men, what type of results can you see in your relationship to men?
Oh my gosh. So emasculate is a kinder word for castrate, which I've been studying men for 6 months, when the only woman whose life I envied, like I wish I had a life like hers. So she's the only woman I would have listened to. She'd been married for 13 years. She was still being courted and wooed by her husband, pursued by him. She had two kids. She was, I mean, and she was a titan in the community and had a garden, for gosh sakes, and was an artist, like this whole full life, right? And yeah, and she called me up one day and said, "Allison, we need to talk. Men are attracted to you like bees to honey, and when you're done with them, it's like they've been with a vampire." It's like, me, below me. And then she pointed out all these ways that she'd either seen me diminish a man in some way, or she'd seen the result. Like, because I just did an engagement with one of her friends and he was trashed. And so sorry, Peter. So very sorry. So emasculate, you can think of it as diminishing, as disempowering, as depriving a man of vigor. One of the ways that it shows up is like, it's like if a like imagine a blender's like in, full speed, getting the job done, and someone yanks the cord out of the wall. Like just and they lose their power. We steal their power, mostly because we're terrified of it. We judge all men by our experience of bad men. And we don't even have to have an experience of it. We have ancestral memories and we hear things and people share their trauma. And so we take it on like that's going to happen to us. And so we're afraid of men having power. We don't know how much they're organized around using it to provide for others. That they're we think they're incredibly selfish. And oh, I mean, there's so many things we think of about them that we think are just true because we don't know that they're a reaction to being emasculated. That how men react to being attacked is who we think men are. And so as soon as we stop emasculating, which, as you know, in the Queen's Code, I was asked to just stop. Allison, I want you to cut it out. And my reaction was, well, then how will I protect myself? And then in my investigation, after finally seeing in that conversation with Ellen, that as long as I stole power from men, I would never experience my own. I just, as long as I was taking theirs, I wouldn't know mine. I was too busy stealing and diminishing and disempowering and just shutting that stuff down because I was so afraid of them and didn't even know I was afraid of them. It wasn't conscious until that popped out. But then how will I protect myself? Well, who would you have to protect yourself except for someone you think is dangerous? I mean, I've come to understand it in so many different ways, Marley, but the easiest way now that I think about it is I paid a lot of attention to instincts. And my conclusion is that the entire planet functions in a hierarchy of instinct. And first is procreate, and then protect, and then provide. And so, if you look, every species risks its life, even gives up its life in order to procreate. Every species, they'll fight to the death, or birth is a process. They die. right? The salmon go upstream, spawn and die. So it's, and procreate isn't just sex, it's also like entrepreneurship is procreate. It's creative, entrepreneurial, cause something to be that isn't, right? That kind of energy. But once we procreate, then whatever we've created, now we protect it, right? Someone invents something and the next thing they do is patent it, right? So for us as humans, if you think about men in this flow of procreate, then protect, then provide, women want men to be in a state of provide, like just give and give and give and provide more and provide more and provide more. But pro protect trumps provide. So a man will give incredibly generous, whatever their overflowing is. But if there's something that they see as scarce, they've got to protect it. So you can see how this obviously would apply to money, right? I remember telling my husband I had this whole vision for this waterfall and swimming pool in our backyard. And I even made this whole display of it with sequins so you could see the water sparkle. And I took this it was like this big, right? I took it out to the backyard and I was explaining it all to him and this vision I was madly in love with. And he said, no. And he turned around and walked away. Why is your no bigger than my yes? Like how did he get to just veto this? And it took some digging, but I came to find out he didn't say no to a swimming pool. My husband was an accountant, right? He had calculated the swimming pool would cost at least $40,000, and at compound interest, it would be a $250,000 hit to the retirement plan 20 years from now. Am I going to give up a $250,000 for retirement to have a pool? So here's, yeah, he was protecting the retirement fund. And I thought he just was refusing to provide a pool. No, it wasn't about the pool at all. It was the protecting the retirement fund. So what happens is when women attack men, like the most common is in the form of criticism. Why did you do that? Or, geez, oh, you forgot again? What kind of idiot are you? Right? We'll attack. And so then they are sucked back from provide, which is this natural state that they love being in. And I mean, they love to provide. And they're sucked back from provide into protect. And even worse than like protecting the retirement fund, they're protecting themselves from us. And that's when they're mean. And can be nasty, say terrible things, shut down, withdraw, hit a wall. I mean, their reaction to being attacked, it's ugly. And I thought that's who men were because I was almost always attacking them.
Wow.
So, yeah. And so the things, you know, that Claudia describes in the Queen's Code, short-term effects of emasculation, and a loss of power and emotional response of rage or fury, and a long-term response of competitiveness, disdain, keeping their distance, loss of intimacy, all these things that I just thought that's what men were like, that they had no capacity for intimacy. That they didn't want to be close, that they didn't respect women. So wrong. Happily, so wrong. They naturally adore us. And this is another place where it ties in precisely. I mean, you know, the money mindset manifestation. Money and men function remarkably alike. And and a friend who was she was struggling. She and her husband were struggling with money. And I was like, okay, you got to think of it like this. Think of money like a man. It wants to provide. It is abundant and it wants to provide. But if you treat it like it's not important, then it'll go to someone who treats it like it is important. And if you appreciate it, then and how you appreciate it is how you appreciate anything. It starts with noticing. Yay, I got 41 cent interest this month. Wahoo, 41 cents. Sometimes it's harder to get excited than others, but noticing it's happening, noticing what it's doing. And then what I told her was, and money's like a man, flirt with it. It needs to be desired. And that's what flirting is. It's expressing desire. And women are so worried about being desirable that we don't let men know that we desire them. And we asked panels of men so many questions, but one of them was, what do you find attractive in a woman? And this man, he kind of blushed. He was abashed, but he said it anyway. He goes, that she finds me attractive. It was so honest. But so what I taught
Sweet.
my friend was, wink at money. Just wink at it. And then, like, within a few months, their business just exploding, and all these other things were happening that the money was just flowing in, and they were turning away customers and making more stringent standards. Like, no, we're not going to deal with that. You got to do this. And I'm like, what's going on? And she said, I've been winking. So it's men are providers. The universe, I think we live in a benevolent universe. There's a reason it's called providence, right? And they want to be seen, they want to be known, they want to be valued for what they value about themselves. Like their pride is much more in their character than in their accomplishments. But they're going to talk more about their accomplishments because their character, to talk about that is to be exposed. And men only reveal themselves to women and even men, to just people who they think can't hurt them or have proven that they won't. And this is why I've sat on airplanes with so many men who, they might say, so what do you do? Right. And when people ask me that, if I don't want to talk, I say, I'm a teacher. And then I go back to work or read a book, right? If there's something about them that I do want to connect, then I'll tell them what I do. And then men have just revealed and revealed and revealed. And they'll say, I can't believe I'm telling you this. My wife doesn't even know this about me.
Wow.
And I investigated. I went looking, okay, why do men tell me what they don't tell their wives? Well, especially sitting on an airplane, I don't know their name. I don't know where they live. They never say the names of their family members. I can't hurt them. Like, so they tell me all these things that could be used to hurt them. And as girlfriends and wives and sisters, as women, we prove that we will reveal what they've revealed to us. We don't even know that to them it's a betrayal. We don't know that that was just for us that they shared that, not for everybody else to know. We don't know that. And we'll tell their secrets to somebody else to show how special they are, that he told me his secrets. Look how special I am. He told me this, he told me this, he told me this. And then she goes and tells it to somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. And then he finds out and he's devastated. Why would you do that? They don't know, as herd animals, how much we're driven by status. And being told intimacies by a man, that's a sign of status, because women think it's rare. I could go on and on, you can Alice.
Please do. Okay, Allison, I have a
Yes.
I'm loving this. I'm on the edge of my seat. Okay, so if someone's listening and they're like, "Oh my gosh, I realize I've been emasculating men." How maybe they're in a let's say they're actually in a relationship, okay? And they're like, "Oh, I've been emasculating my partner." How quickly does the transformation happen in I don't want to say the damage has been done, but let's just say there's been damage done, okay? How is it possible to pivot back to being a queen? Like how quickly can that transformation happen? And is it possible if you've been a frog farmer your whole life and even in a relationship the whole time, is it possible to step into that queen and create a prince again or a king?
Are you wanting to start, grow, or scale an online business, but you're lacking accountability, you're lacking a blueprint, you're lacking community, and you honestly just don't know what to do next? This is exactly how I felt when I started my online business. I felt alone and I felt very overwhelmed. But over the past 4 years, I personally have built two online businesses that have generated over 7 figures in income. I've put together the exact method and strategies that work so you don't have to struggle anymore and you can get the results faster and quicker. I want to tell you about Freedom Club. It's my 12-week business accelerator that blends mindset and strategy so you can start seeing success externally and feeling it internally. By enrolling in Freedom Club, you can start to expect that people are going to be reaching out to you saying, "Oh my gosh, your business is looking so amazing. I'm so impressed with you." You will start to have the financial freedom to spoil your friends, your family, and most importantly, you. If you want to join a supportive, uplifting community and start taking the step in the right direction toward building your business so you can finally be financially free and live life on your own terms, apply in the link in the show notes and we can hop on a call to ensure it's the perfect fit for you and creating the future and life that you dream of. All right, back to the episode.
Yeah. Well, it's not, I would hesitate with the word create. You probably know I'm precise because he's already in there. There's no creation part, right? We don't make men. We don't make men. We may inspire them to want to be the best version of themselves. And by wanting from them what they most want to give and appreciating what they want to give, I mean, my husband said it once. He's about getting to provide and protect and be a hero for somebody. And he said it only takes one person to change your whole life, just to get to be that. And so, in answer to your question, oh boy, best way to answer it. So I don't ask people, and I say people because I ask men to do it now as well. Men listen to or read the Queen's Code, and I invite them to give up the right to emasculate men, to give up the right to emasculate women, to give up the right to emasculate themselves, ask women to give up the right to diminish themselves, because everything we do to disempower men, we do to ourselves. But I ask people to give up the right to do it because the doing of it, yes, sometimes it's purposeful, sometimes it's mean. It usually comes from a desire to punish, which comes from seeing someone as misbehaving. They know the right thing to do and they're doing something else on purpose, so they should be punished. So it's triggered, right? So emasculation is generally triggered. And even I can still do it all these years later. I can be triggered to do that. But I ask people to give up the right to do it, which means giving up justifying doing it. Because we act like we have the right to do that because people don't act right. They deserve to be disempowered. Well, but acting right is a perception. It's It's our perception based on our values and based on what we're projecting onto them as what we think they're thinking, what we think they need, what we think even that they're working on. I mean, women will project onto men all kinds of strategies, like especially in dating, we think they have all these strategies they're working out. No, men feel very vulnerable dating because in their world, it's the woman who gets to choose. She decides. But women think men decide, that they're the ones that get to choose. We're very confused about all of it. But so if someone stops doing it, what I noticed, and Kimberly and Karen as well, in the Queen's Code, the characters, the effect is immediate. It just depends on the degree to which you do it, but the effect is immediate. To not stab, to not shoot, to not attack, to not criticize, to not, oh, not to take, to not take over. Oh, let me do that. You're too slow. You're doing it wrong, right? To not emasculate, men naturally flow into provide, right? Or if they're going to protect, they're going to protect us. They'll be protective of us. Like if a woman's like, oh God, my thighs are too fat, right? And you can tell like she like doesn't like her body and doesn't want to be in her body because what she thinks about herself. And he'll like go on a tirade about women's magazines, how full of shit they are, how terrible they make women feel. He's going to protect what he sees as, you know, he's going to protect her from what he sees as attacking her. Or, you know, she'll feel terrible like by a comment that someone made. And she's like, he'll see like, honey, consider the source. She's a jerk. Right? So he'll try to protect her from taking it too hard. And it's so natural for them to do that. And I mean, I've asked men, like, who are you compelled to protect? Because we think they'll only protect us because they're attracted to us, or they'll only protect us when they like us. We think if when they're mad at us, they won't protect us. They'll be like, oh, take her. But they're not like that. Most men use the expression within reach. If someone's within reach, they will do everything they can to protect them. They don't even have to know them, and they don't have to like them. They don't even like have to think they're a good person. They could be like, oh, gross, and they'll protect them anyway. It's so much a part of who they are. So when we stop attacking, all these things show up. But one of the things that matters, especially in the circumstances you were setting up, is if a woman's going to do this consciously, the best thing to do is tell the men that you're close to, especially if you have a husband or boyfriend that you've been going after for however long. I have made this commitment and it's new and I have a habit and I'm sorry. And could we have like a signal or something gentle that you could do or say when I do it? It's not if I do it, because it's more when I do it, could you do that so I can notice I did it? It's largely unconscious and I don't even know I'm doing it. And could you be my coach? And especially because for different men, some things are masculine to him that aren't to another. Like, oh no, that doesn't bother me. But it bothers me when you do this. And so customizing it to the man in your life. And then the other question you're asking there, Marley. I met my husband within like a week of Ellen asking me to stop castrating men. And he sat down across from me and apparently he'd seen me from across the room and was just agog. And I was on the phone talking to my babysitter and my 3-year-old son, you know, got on the phone with me and he sat across from me and I just looked at him and I just looked him in the eyes and smiled and said, hi, And then I went back to my conversation. And he was just and past him going up, going through a doorway, going opposite directions through the doorway, and looked into his eyes, and I thought, this man loves me. Huh. I just like walked down the hall back to the class I was teaching and going, I shouldn't be thinking that. I have a boyfriend. Anyhow, so 28 years later, when Greg passed away, and I realized, took me a while to realize I wanted to be in a relationship. And then I met Dan 3.5 years ago, moved to his city 2.5 years ago. And within, well, I called it 40 days of self-sacrifice, I was so pissed at him. And I was like, why did I move here? I got more attention when we were long distance. And he does this, and this was bait and switch, and na 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 na. And I was sitting where I'm sitting now, and I was thinking all this, going, da, 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 da. And then I heard it because I was thinking about all the ways he changed, right? And all the ways he tricked me from how we were long distance to how now living in his city. And oh my gosh, I've been frog farming. I frog farmed Dan. And this may sound funny, but I'm like, the Alison Armstrong is frog farming. Oh. And what I did, Marley, is I had to really think about it. I couldn't, it took me a while. I had to just like be with it and be with it. So I ended up being on the phone from a Christmas vacation in Mexico that he was supposed to be with me on and was not. And I said, well, are there any times that I have hurt you or hurt your feelings or disrespected you or crushed you that I can, that I need to clean up? And he said, well, I know you, there have been things, but I don't remember what they are. And I could just see the effect. I mean, he was so different than the guy who welcomed me here the first night I moved to Steamboat Springs. Like we were just ecstatic that we weren't going to be saying goodbye soon, right? And so I said, well, will you let me try something? He's like, okay. And I probably spent maybe 5 minutes. So I'll give you the short version of it. But I, like, from my heart of hearts, without any like need or desire to justify, I just said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for any time and every time I have hurt your feelings. I'm sorry for any time and every time I've disrespected you. I'm sorry for any time and every time in any way that I have diminished you, at any time, big or little, that you have been less because of something that I did. And I just kept going, like with every possible variation I could think of. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And I did it until I couldn't think of anything else to say. And they were just silent. And he said, thank you. Then he said, do you still want to be my girlfriend? It's like, yeah. Do you still want to be my boyfriend? Yeah. And yeah, we've never gone back to that since. That was over 2 years ago. We've never been in a place like that again.
Wow.
And yeah. And one of it is just keeping an eye out. Like we have a, okay, so if or when I disrespect you, will you please speak up at the time? Will you say like ouch or geez or hello? Will you do something so I can clean it up immediately? And I checked like, okay, is there anything? And I did what we teach in the Queen's Code. I asked him, I don't know when it was. It seems like it's about 6 months ago. Is there anything you need from me that you've given up on getting? Or is there anything you need from that's too hard to get? You thought that, nope. We're good. But just checking, do you know? And is there anything I need to apologize for? And oh God, it was awful. So a couple months ago, I revealed something about him to the person he doesn't want anything revealed to, his ex-wife. And I didn't even realize it until the next day. I'm like, I did that. And when I went to see him, and he was like, so happy to see me. And you want to do this, you want to do that. I'm like, well, I need to tell you something afterwards. You may want me just to go home. It's like, what? And I told him what I'd done. I'm so sorry. I betrayed you. I revealed you what, and something I had no right to reveal about you. If you were going to do that, that was yours to do, and especially to this person. And he's looking at me just straight, and I goes, yeah, you're right. You shouldn't have done that. I know. So sorry. And he's like, I forgive you. But he didn't try to make me feel better. Exactly as awful as I ought to have. And but he forgave me. We're good.
Wow.
You
So
may be way too young to have ever seen Love Story with Ryan O'Neal and Ally McGraw, but there's this thing in there that they say love means never having to say I'm sorry. And the movie's awesome, but that's baloney. Love means saying I'm sorry a lot and as needed and even when asked to. Because, like, when we say to a man, could you say I'm sorry I hurt your feelings? To them, that is an illogical and untruthful thing to say. But when they learn what it provides, they're willing to do it. As long as we can appreciate it, as long as we realize what a huge deal it is for them to say that instead of that we're entitled to it.
So something I want to ask you about, and I want to make sure I phrase this properly, so just bear with me. So
It's okay.
since reading your teachings, something that has really resonated is like putting the sword down. And I grew up in a family where what I was saw to be normal was a lot of conflict and not coming back together. No, I never learned after conflict resolution. So that's something I'm currently learning is like, oh, conflict doesn't mean that everything is over. There's actually a resolution after. This is so exciting. And in conflict, and this is something I would love your opinion on, is I notice that when I'm in conflict, I don't want to be the first person to apologize out of ego. And also, I feel like having this fear of abandonment, if someone apologized first, then I don't have to worry about abandonment, right? But since learning your trainings and about women and men and me ex having this expectation of wanting my partner to act like a woman and nurture me through conflict and realizing, okay, that's not his instinct. And so I started doing this new thing where if there is a conflict, instead of trying to run away or protect myself from conflict or need wanting him to be the first person to apologize, I just think, okay, this is literally my thing. What would Alison Armstrong do? And I go, okay, knowing the instinct of women and male and knowing that I'm the nurturer and they're the hunter, it's like putting my sword down and me apologizing first and knowing that men respond to me. So when I started doing this in terms of like just recently, there was a conflict and I was like, you know what? I love you. I'm sorry. Which it literally took everything inside of me. I was like, this is the most uncomfortable thing ever. But I was like, I love you. I'm sorry. We're going to come up with a solution and let's talk about this. And then him mirroring that, being like, I love you, I'm sorry, and we're gonna solve this. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, this gets to be this way. So in your learnings and like from the Queen's Code perspective, what is the best, I don't know if I want to say like strategy, but communication style for women in conflict?
Okay.
Big question.
So it's a big question, and so I recorded a big answer. Last summer I did a series called Connection Through Conflict. And the first session is entitled, Do You Disconnect with Conflict? Because both men and women, for different reasons, we will disconnect with the other person at even like a whiff of conflict, and we'll disconnect with ourselves. We're so afraid of conflict for different reasons. Women largely, like, if there's a conflict, you'll leave me, right? If it's over, if there's a conflict, it's over. I can't ever let you know that something's wrong, or that means you're not the one, we're not meant to be, and you're going to go away. And we literally hide problems. We think if there's problems, it means we're not supposed to be together. Men think life comes with problems. And when a woman is hiding problems, they'll just think we don't have enough evidence that this will work because we haven't had any problems yet. Like, they look for the problems, and then when there's a problem, do you make me the problem that there's a problem, or can we stay on the same team and solve the problem together? Like, it's outside of us, right? So, but men avoid conflict because they instinctively know that conflict can escalate very quickly to violence and death. So when they are experiencing conflict in themselves with another person, they'll be consciously or unconsciously answering the question, but is it worth it? Is it worth dying for? And so men avoid conflict, and women think men avoid conflict because they're chicken and because they're afraid of the woman. No, they have an innate desire to avoid conflict. It's what keeps whatever peace we have on the planet, that's part of it. There are some personalities, both male and female, who, and I'm one of them, we have fight, flight, and freeze responses. My first response is to fight. I'm a fighter. So I'm one of those gonna go in and go at it. And I didn't know my husband knew that about me. He goes, oh, yes, I noticed that in the first couple months. And I thought, oh, cool, she's a fighter. But he would freeze, and he wouldn't fight back. And then he'd flee. So we have all these different responses, but I recorded Connecting Through Conflict because what I distinguish in that program, it's on our website, it's a whole $95 for, geez, 10, almost 10 hours of
I have
information.
it. I have it.
Oh, good. Oh, good. So I don't know how far you've gotten in it, but we distinguish four different sources of conflict. And normally when there's a conflict, it's a mess. And someone will start talking about one part, and someone will be like, no, it's really about this. No, it's about this. And well, but what about that? Well, and then you do that, and it just gets worse. And I treat it like a tangled necklace. And if we could just spread it apart, get some oxygen in, start to see what's leading where. And that's what I do in that program, that, based the four main sources of conflict: expectations, values, needs, and preferences. And expectations, as you know, if you've gotten that far, I call it the mischief maker, because expectation is what you should do without having to do anything. You should do this, and any good person would, and you owe it to me. And if you're not doing what I expect of you, you're misbehaving and you deserve to be punished. Right? So expectations is the source of all of the things that we do for frog farming. But if you have like a value, like that thing that I said, character, what men are most proud of themselves and what they most want to be known for and appreciated, especially by their loved ones, that you get me, you get who I am in my heart of hearts. So, and we all have values, we all have who we really are. But if we expect someone to honor that without us ever showing them how, oh, we're going to have a huge blow up over values, and then it's going to be worse by the expectation. And then there's things that we need. And there are what I would call authentic conflicting needs, but they're not as common as we think. Mostly, we think we have a conflicting need because of misunderstanding or a lack of understanding. We haven't been curious enough. So, what is it that you need exactly? What would that look like? When would I do that? Is it okay to need something to be able to do that? Because if you did this, I could do that. Like, we don't investigate it far enough. It's a classic amongst human beings. But if we have a need and an expectation that someone they should already know what I need. If they were paying close enough attention, they would know what I need. Women think we know what men need because we're paying really close attention to especially their preferences. But we project needs onto them all the time, and they do it with us. So needs can cause huge upsets not having them met. And then it's even bigger if there's an expectation that I shouldn't have even had to ask. And then preferences, which is, we just like things that way. We like us. I mean, so much of getting to know someone is their preferences, right? So how hot do you like your food? Or what took me years to figure out? My husband didn't care about food being hot. He wanted the food to wait for him. He didn't want to wait for it. He wanted to wait for him. Where I learned to cook for my stepfather, who wanted things piping hot. He'd rather sit at the table with a knife and fork, waiting for it to come right off the stove. And I had to learn, right? I was like 15 years old, and I had to learn how to have all these dishes arrive all piping hot. Totally not. So happy to find out when someone doesn't care, even though I do. So it just, when you can separate these out and you can, one of the things, if you've gotten that far, I recommend question your interpretations. Don't trust your perceptions. When we're having conflicts, we're sure how we see it is right. And it's, what if instead we took the opposite, right? And instead of, you don't care about me. When you do that, it seems like you don't care about me. Like the other person will be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry it seems that way to you. I totally care about you. I thought that's what you wanted. What? Right? And so there's so many things we think are what we think they are, they're not even close to that. They're not even close. I mean, like I thought Dan had been cataloging, all the times I had hurt him or disrespected him. And wow, there's a really bad idea to have her move to my town in my neighborhood in my backyard. No, he wasn't. He was just trying to do his best, right? Just trying to make it work and trying to take care of me in the middle of a winter that I wasn't prepared for and didn't understand. What do you mean you can't go to Mexico because there's a storm coming? What do you mean you have to plow? Hire somebody. It's like, well, I could hire somebody, but I'd have to be under contract. And if it snows enough, it could cost $4,000 in snow work for the week we're gone. And I'm not willing to do that. And I need the plot, need the driveway. It needs to be clean and clear so the girls can get to work and back, his daughters, right? So anyhow, I'm gonna stop.
Oh my God, Allison, thank you so much. And honestly, just from women of the world, thank you so much for everything they do, and men, Because I feel like most, I don't want to say most of us, but for the majority of people that I speak to, we possibly weren't modeled the type of the relationship that we want to have. And the way I describe being in partnership is literally like an Apple computer and a PC speaking to each other. It's like totally different operating systems. And then without any training, without any learning, we're just expected to operate together. And
Yeah.
being in a relationship that I deeply love and am so excited about, I realized I did so much work on myself to manifest this type of relationship. And I'm like, now
Yeah.
that I have it, I'm like, ah. And then being in a loving, supportive relationship with a man, a real man, I was like, I don't know how to do this. Like, I've never done this before. What do I don't know. And thank all heavens and gods that I found your work, because now I feel empowered. I feel like a true queen, actually. And so thank you so much for everything that you do. And for everyone listening who's now going to
Can I
be
interrupt for a
ups
second?
yeah.
Can I interrupt for a second? I'm really sorry. It's just you asked an important question. I didn't answer it. Can I take a minute to answer?
Please.
Okay. So, in terms of who apologizes first, and there's a distinction between saying I'm sorry and I apologize. Apologize to acknowledge wrongdoing and offer an explanation. Often the explanation occurs like a justification, and it takes all the I'm sorry out of it, right? I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. I'm sorry I disrespected you. It's so much more powerful. And in partnership, the idea is he or she who can does. If you can say I'm sorry first, if you can say I apologize, I was wrong to do that, right? If you whatever however you can reach towards the other person, that's what counts. It's the reaching that counts, and it's the reaching back that counts. As long as you've got reaching, as long as you've got in horsemanship, we call it try. As long as you've got try, anything is possible. It's when someone's not willing to try anymore that it can be over, unless they're willing to look at what would I need to be willing to try again and tell the other person, if you could really be sorry for this, I could try again. So anything you can say. Even one time, my husband and I got into it so badly, and I was in such a human instinct cavewoman attack. I couldn't say I'm sorry first. I couldn't. And but what I could get out of my mouth, like it squeaks out of my mouth, it would help me if you ate this. I guess that's how I could get past the grip of human instincts. And he looked at me and he said, "So you're saying I would win by losing?" And he just laughed. He goes, "Damn, you're good. Okay, I was wrong. I was wrong, and I'm so sorry." And then I could, breathe again, and I
Wow.
could, and the thing that's important is he got so much credit for that. Like, oh, thank you. Okay, I'm getting capacities back. Give me a minute. So I know I misinterpreted you, and you misinterpreted me, and that's how we ended up in this mess. And so I'm really sorry for my part, and just thank you. Thank you for saving me, because I couldn't do
Wow.
it. Yeah, so you don't have to always be the one that says I'm sorry, but you can say I'm sorry that I can't say I'm sorry first. Is there any way you can say sorry first? And then even when a man says, "I'm sorry, I hurt your feelings," Like we teach in Understanding Women, to be able to come back and say, "And I'm so sorry, I interpreted your actions the way I did. You never mean to hurt me, and you didn't mean what I thought you meant that hurt my feelings. And so thanks for saving me by saying the magic words." And I'm gonna beware of interpreting you that way. That's the reason you would have done it, not the reason you did it. And so it's like the more we give each other credit for the generosity, for the bigness, for the courage, the more we appreciate that in each other, some small part of that we remember when we're in deep doo-doo again. We've been here before. We climbed out of it. How do we climb out of it? Oh, that's how we climb out of it. And that
Yes.
just gets easier and easier.
Oh, Allison, everyone needs to take Understanding Men and Understanding Women. Like, it should be when you come to Earth, it is you, like, it's a part of your indoctrination into Earth school. It's just like, how do people exist without this? So, thank you so much. Where should people find you if they're gonna get to know more about you? Where can we find the Queen's Code? Pimp yourself out.
Oh, well, thank you. Okay, so everything I've recorded since 2006 is on our website, AllisonArmstrong.com. And you can watch our online curriculum there. I mean, it's a real curriculum. It has steps that you go through. The best place for most people to start is either Understanding Women, which you'll see a recording of a live workshop, so you get to see men and women reacting to each other. It's so funny. And or LUX, which stands for Liberation, Understanding, and Extraordinary Relationships. So one or the other will rock your world. Understanding men's, it's more challenging because we're confronting the biggest things we don't know and the what we've done by not knowing it, right? So I actually recommend it third for both men and women. And the Queen's Code audiobook, which I strongly recommend over the written book, even though it's a bestseller worldwide. The audiobook, which we released almost 2 years ago, I am telling you the story that I watched the movie of. And what we've heard from people who first read the book and then listened to me reading the book was that they filtered the dialogue very differently than they hear me speaking it. And figured, like one woman said, she goes, "I realized I didn't read to myself the men's dialogue with as much sincerity and emotion as you do. And I realized it's because of my prejudices that men can't be that way." So it's, yeah. So when we publish the sequel to The Queen's Code, I'm going to publish the audio and the written together. Like, here, take both. Because, yeah, how people have interpreted is not necessarily how it was meant. So that's the Queen's Code audiobook is only on our website. And then you listen to it on our app. Eventually, it may make its way to Audible. There's a bunch of stuff on Audible, but it was all recorded between 1997 and 2005. It's evergreen. It still makes a huge difference. In sync with the opposite sex. I made it to transform dating, but it transforms all relationships. So there isn't anything not worth listening to. I just would caution on Audible, there's a recording of the original Understanding Women Unlock the Mystery course. And it's only when I could speak about women as gatherers in gathering mode. And most women identify with being in hunting mode more of the time than gathering mode. And so if someone just knows that information, the gathering mode part, which is the part that Tony Robbins has taught to hundreds of thousands of people, but it only works part of the time. It only works when she's in gathering mode. The things I recommend doing, it only works when she's in an open state of mind. And when women are focused, they need something completely different. So that's the only thing I would say on Audible. Don't trust. It's only part of the story. It's better than nothing. It still helped a lot of people, but it's not the whole story.
Oh my gosh, I'm literally running to buy Queen's Code audiobook. I didn't even know it existed. I would have been on that like months ago.
It's
Oh.
right there on our website.
Oh
Yeah, in a
my
few minutes I'm gonna be in the third session of I do a it's called Your Queen's Code Journey.
Yeah.
And so we people listen. It's men and women, and they listen a chapter or two at a time, and then we get together and I answer questions about it and on Zoom, and we get to see each other, and they get to see each other and interact with each other, and it's awesome. This I think is
Oh,
the maybe the fifth time I've done it. I'll do another one probably this summer. It's just a cool way to get to be with like-minded, like-hearted people who are terribly courageous and transforming themselves rapidly. I got to learn everything in the Queen's Code over the course of 20 years, like slowly, what people are learning in 11 hours, right?
Wow.
I learned in 20 years. And so it shakes the foundation
Yep.
and takes a while to digest, and doing the assignments that Claudia gives Kimberly and Karen it's just a smart thing to do if you really want to take advantage of the whole transformation.
Wow.
And it's really good for men too, by the way. When men find out why women attack them, if they take it on, they literally can become impervious to our attempts to diminish them. They can just see the fear and frustration and just bounce off instead of having them retract into protecting themselves. They can just see it. Oh, she's scared and she's frustrated. All right, let's find out. What is she scared of and what is she frustrated about? Seems you need something from me you haven't been able to get. Could we talk about that? I've told you 1,000 times. Okay, well, let's just assume I didn't hear it all. Let's see if we can break it down. I want to know and I want you to have what you need. Which, when I started studying men, I was sure they didn't care. They either didn't care what I needed or they're actively withholding it. It never dawned on me that they didn't know, that they thought they were providing what I needed. They were giving me what they needed.
Wow. Well, we're gonna link everything below so that everyone can
Okay.
get all into your incredible world. Allison, thank you so much for your time and your ed beautiful energy and answering all of our questions. We're so grateful. And I know everyone's gonna be obsessed with you, so they're gonna follow along. And everyone needs to read the Queen's Code and all of your courses. Also, I think I have like s at least six already. Like I said, I went down a rabbit hole. So thank you so much.
You're
And
welcome.
I'm so grateful. Hey. Before you go, would you love a free money hypnosis? You guys, this is what I listen to every single night to rewire my subconscious mind so I can manifest the money that I desire. It is absolutely game-changing. If you've heard me talk anything about subconscious mind and anything along the realms of healing your subconscious mind to help align you and attract money into your life, hypnotherapy is the way. It actually heals and rewires your subconscious mind to make it believe and truly allow it to believe that you deserve the money that you desire. So if you want this free money hypnosis, all you have to do is leave us a review, honest review, how you're feeling about the show. Take a screenshot right away and then send it to hello@marleyrose.ca and we will send you this free hypnosis. You guys, it's going to be absolutely game changing. It's how all my clients have manifested all of their massive goals in their business and in their life. Okay, thanks so much, you guys. I hope it's a great tool for you to use in manifesting all the money that you desire. Lots of love. Mwah.